The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
If you've heard me speak in the past during Christmas time, you know that I love Christmas time. And when Jerry first mentioned it, the idea of having a series that talked about kind of going back in time a little bit, talking about some of the old Christmas carols that we kind of got used to singing, and maybe there's some that we'll talk about that you've never heard before or that you haven't sung before. Maybe you've just heard them. But when I was a kid growing up, I think I got to learn all of the Christmas carols in the car. My mom used to do something that I don't know if my dad appreciated or not, but she would force him to sing Christmas carols to us. And it was one of those things where, I don't know, you know, she threatened to not feed him for like a week or something. But whatever she did to talk him into doing that. My dad has a great singing voice, and so it was good to get, but I know that every once in a while he would rebel a little bit because he would throw in like Santa got run over by a reindeer. or that one about Batman and Robin, you know, where you can really jack up Jingle Bells. And then my mom would get really mad and they wouldn't talk the rest of the ride. And I think that was like his way of getting out of singing Christmas carols. But he knew all of them. He knew like all the really old ones. And so consequently, I picked up a lot of those too. And I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, we were in a Christmas service and I was sitting next to somebody and we're singing the Christmas songs. And I had not even opened the book. I was just singing the songs. And after a while, they looked at me like, dude, you have these songs memorized or something? What do? You know, go see Frosty the Snowman and, you know, take your notepad and paper and, you know, memorize these songs. I'm like, no, I know these songs. As a kid, I just kept hearing them over and over again. And the thing I love about these Christmas carols is they're so rich. You ever had a dessert that you take like 2 bites of it and you're just like, oh my goodness, I cannot finish that. I feel that way about Christmas carols because they're so packed with all the good stuff that talks about who God is and who Jesus is. And so it's like taking a bite of a sweet dessert and you're like, oh my goodness, there's so much there. And as I was kind of getting ready for this morning, I discovered some delicious morsels in this. Not only did I discover delicious morsels in this Christmas carol, but those of you guys that happened to pass by the refreshment table this morning, was that amazing or what? It still is. Isn't it pretty incredible? All day yesterday, I was just sitting in the house, and Debbie was baking cookies, and I was just smelling these all day long, you know. And you know, whenever somebody's baking cookies for somebody else, you're not allowed to sample them, but Debbie was very kind, and she let me sample. Maybe I was a guinea pig or something, but she was letting me sample. And so, oh, man, yesterday was just awesome because I got to taste all these cookies. And then I kept seeing on Twitter all these announcements that other people were bringing delicious items to church as well. So before you leave, you just need to stop by the table. By the way, everything's 0 calories today because it's Sunday. So make sure you stop by the table and pick up some goodies. But I'm hoping that you leave this morning with more than just a full stomach and more than just that sweet taste in your mouth, but that God gives you something through what we're going to be talking about, because he already gave me something, and I want to share it with you this morning. So we're starting our series, Vintage Christmas. So let me pray and ask God to just open our hearts and our minds to things that he has for us. Father, thank you. You really are an amazing God, and right now, God, we want to learn something from you. We want you to show us some things that we have not heard before, and so Father, open our hearts, open our minds so that we can receive whatever it is you have for us. And I pray, God, that it would be something that we can take into this week and even into the weeks to come, and that it would be something that really, truly touches and changes our lives. That's always our prayer, Father, when we come to your word. And so we would ask that this morning. Thank you, God. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So the Christmas carol that I picked to talk about this morning is one called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Okay, we're going to do a show of hands because I thought about there's a possibility there's not a lot of people that have heard the Christmas carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. So if you have not heard this Christmas carol, you can just, don't be embarrassed, just raise your hand. Your dad didn't sing Christmas carols in the car, I understand that. Okay, there's a few of us that haven't heard it before. I picked this one because it actually supposedly is one of the oldest Christmas carols. And we're talking vintage Christmas, so we're going way, way back, okay? And this Christmas carol actually is as far back as like the 15th century, but it wasn't published until 1833. And so we're going to talk about some things that kind of were going on at that time during the time when this Christmas carol was published. Okay, so God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, 1833, here it is. In 1833, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of reference, Andrew Jackson was reelected as President of the United States, okay? Anybody still know their presidents by heart? You know, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, that's about it. A little settlement named Chicago was founded. You may have heard of it. Now it's grown into this huge metropolis. The British Parliament passed the Slavery Abolition Act. And check this out. So this marked the freedom of slaves in Britain. But what's even more amazing is they passed another act, which was the Factory Acts. And up until this time, child labor was just horrendous. Kids would work in factories, especially the kids that were from poor families. They would work in factories for as many as 14, 15 hours. And so they passed this law saying that a child that is between the ages of 9 and 13, first of all, if a child was under the age of 9, they couldn't work in the factory. If they were between the ages of 9 and 13, they could only work 9 hours. Without stopping. If they were over the age of 13, they could work up to 12 hours a day. Okay, so that law was put into place to protect kids from child labor. I'm thinking, man, I don't even know a kid today that could, you know, work for like an hour, let alone 12 hours at a time. But what else was happening in 1833? People dressed funny. You need some proof of that? Here, this I found this picture. April 25th, 1830. Yeah. They actually, not only did they dress funny, they had very bizarre toys. Toys didn't become like a marketing thing. Like they weren't like toy shops until after like the 1850s. And so before that, everything was handmade. And so this kid has looks kind of like a hula hoop, but it was actually a piece of wood that was painted, you know, and made into a circle, and then he had a stick, and he would just, like, push that circle along and run after it. So, sounds like a lot of fun, I know. But they didn't have a whole lot going on. So, what else was happening in 1833? The Night Before Christmas was being circulated, but it had not yet been published. The first time it appeared was, like, in 1923, and it was published in 1823, and it was published in 1844. And it actually, the reason that's significant is because The Night Before Christmas actually began to change people's public opinion of Santa Claus. Prior to that, there was a legend that Santa, believe it or not, rode around on a broomstick. Yeah, that sounds kind of creepy. And so, towards The Night Before Christmas, it was actually originally titled A Visit from St. Nicholas, and it kind of changed people's thinking to the whole idea that Santa was in a sleigh and that reindeer pulled a sleigh. And so I like to think of Santa Claus as being in a reindeer-drawn sleigh as opposed to a broomstick. Maybe you have your own, you know, feelings about Santa Claus, but that. Also, New Year's was a big deal back then, and Christmas wasn't as big of a deal as New Year's. There were much bigger New Year's celebrations. It was a much bigger holiday. And so Christmas at this point was becoming the most celebrated holiday. And also a Christmas carol was written called, or published called, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And this song, the reason they don't know who wrote it or how far back it actually goes is because this song was sung by the watchmen in towns, and they would sing it to the people as they would pass by. Now, the watchmen had like extended hours during the Christmas season, and so people were busy in the streets, and so they would actually begin to sing these songs to the people as they would pass by, and they just kept adding verses. And I was looking up God Rest You Merry Gentlemen just to see if I could have the entire Christmas carol written out for you, and there was like 12 verses, and so you'll appreciate the fact that we're only going to look at one today, but pretty fascinating. Pretty fascinating. And I love the first verse of this Christmas carol. I'm going to read it for you, and I want you to really listen to the words. And the thing that really amazed me is the people that crafted this song, they were thinking straight up Jesus. They were taking the scriptures, and they were bringing them into this song and bringing so much more depth and meaning to the Christmas season by doing that. So the song actually, if you haven't heard it, I'll let you hear it. I found a recording, a 1917 recording, and I took a picture of the band that played it, and it's like kind of like in their garage. They were, you know, rocking out in their garage, so I have a picture of these guys. There they are. Okay. Okay, there's been a lot of renditions of this song, and as you can imagine, it's changed over time. And one of my favorite renditions is this one here, which is a more recent rendition. Those guys rock out a little more. So, a little bit different. The song has actually changed over time, at least the way that it's done. But I love the words. Let's look at the words, and I'll read them for you, and we'll talk a little bit about kind of the meaning behind it. It says, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. First time I heard this song, I actually thought it was saying, it's time to party. It says, God rest you merry gentlemen, and my idea was like, a merry gentleman, I pictured a guy that had his eggnog in his hand, and he was getting ready to celebrate Christmas. He was a merry gentleman. And I began to look a little deeper into the meaning of this verse. And I want to take that first part and kind of talk about it. It says, God rest ye merry, and then there's a comma, gentlemen. So there's something going on here that I didn't realize. The first is the word rest back in the early times meant to make. It meant to make. Okay, that kind of changes a little bit. But I mean, still, you know, God is making merry gentlemen. Okay, well, I remembered from my childhood when I would read about Robin Hood. You guys remember Robin Hood? And he had a band of merry men. And that always kind of bothered me. Because I'm like, man, these guys should be training. They shouldn't be partying. But I came to find out that the word merry actually meant mighty or strong and courageous. So it wasn't merry gentlemen as in happy, happy-go-lucky party gentlemen. It actually meant strong, courageous, valiant men. And it says, let nothing you dismay. Dismay means to discourage or to dishearten. All of a sudden, the meaning of this song began to change for me. And if I were to reword it, it would go like this. God make you strong and courageous so that nothing discourages you. Does that sound a lot more intense than God rest you merry gentlemen? To me, that changes the whole flavor of this song. It's basically a prayer of blessing on people saying, we desire that God would turn you into people that are courageous and that are strong and that nothing would get you down. Deuteronomy 31:6. This song reminds me of what Moses told Joshua. He said, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Now, why would Moses say that to Joshua? Well, what was happening was Joshua was taking over command. Joshua was going to be the guy that was going to be leading literally thousands and thousands of people. And he had one mission, and that was to take over a land that God had promised to give them. And in that land that God had promised to give them, there were hostiles, people that didn't want to give up the land. And before Joshua was to embark on this mission, Moses pulls him aside and says, hey, be strong and be courageous, because our God, Jehovah, is going to go with you. He's going to personally be with you along the way. He basically said, God rest you, merry gentlemen. Romans 8, 31 and 32, we're reminded of this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? My friends, if there was ever a promise in God's word to cling to, this is it. Because we know that times can get difficult. We know that sometimes we bring difficult circumstances upon ourselves, but what we do know that there are times when we can become very discouraged. And maybe in our minds there's some disconnect between our situation and who God is and how he relates to it. And so I think we need to be reminded on a regular basis that God has promised that he's going to be with us at all times. As a matter of fact, when Jesus' birth was being announced, check out what they said. From Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus' very name is a description of his relationship towards us. Isn't that amazing? We can cling to the promise that God is going to be with us at all times. See, there's a reason that this Christmas song was being sung to people, and there's a reason that people were told, don't be dismayed, don't be discouraged, don't be disheartened, because you have something greater than whatever may possibly be threatening you. You have God himself, God's presence with you at all times. Man, I wish I would have known this years ago when I sang this song. I think this would have been a song that would have kind of echoed through my life, not just during Christmas time, if I would have known that it was talking about God actually, by his own presence, making us strong and courageous so that there's nothing that could come into our lives that would discourage us or bring us down. God rest you, merry gentlemen. And the second part is I think, no less exciting. It says, to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. You know, I love the fact that the Christmas carols, these old Christmas carols, did not beat around the bush. I was looking back at the Christmas carols and noticing how many of them mention Satan. And I'm thinking, that's not very Christmassy to talk about Satan. But Christmas carols are all about how God has freed us from the power of Satan. How God has delivered us by his own hand, by his own choice. To me, the most tremendous thing about the fact that Jesus came to die for us is not just that he was willing to come, but he was willing to come to a people that didn't even care about him. He was willing to come to a people that when he was gone again, they wouldn't even remember some of them. Jesus loves us that much. He's willing to be God with us, even though we, many times, are not with God, if you understand what I'm saying. We're the ones that draw away. We're the ones that try to venture off on our own and try to make it without God. And I hear a constant reminding, a constant tugging at my heart. God is saying, I'm with you. Please come with me. Acts 26:18, this beautiful description of what was happening as the apostles were preaching. It says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Just, I think the last couple months, I've heard some incredible stories. We've been doing something on Thursday nights with the young people where we've just been having people get up and share stories of things that God is doing. And our theme for this year on campus is expect the unexpected. And I keep telling the students over and over again, God, if you're willing, God is going to blow you away. He's going to blow away your expectations. He's going to do something that is going to completely surpass anything that you can imagine about God. And I've been getting to hear story after story of young people whose friends, classmates, family members who have either been distant from God or didn't even care about God at all and have come back to him. And it reminds me that at Christmas time, Jesus came for one reason. Not so that we could have a cute nativity set. We bought Josiah a nativity set. Well, actually, Debbie did. And this is like maybe the second one that he lost baby Jesus. Dude, I don't know what it is about baby Jesus. Maybe because he's the smallest character in the nativity. But so if you come to our house and there's nativity sets and there's no Jesus, it's not because we don't believe in Jesus. It's just because I think our son eats him. I don't know, but Jesus didn't come so that we could have a beautiful nativity set that sits on our coffee table. He didn't come so that this Christmas story would be a great story to read on Christmas Eve. He didn't even come so that we could, you know, talk about the story in church. He came to free us from the power of Satan. He came to free us from the power of our own sin. And if you don't think that prior to Jesus becoming a part of your life, that you were enslaved to sin, if you don't believe that, you're deceiving yourself. Sin has a way of getting a hold on your life and trapping you, imprisoning you, and doing it so effectively that there's nothing you can do to free yourself. There's nothing you can do to escape from sin except to ask Jesus to forgive you, except to allow Jesus to be God with you. That's the only way. Not only does this song talk about God saving us from Satan's power, but it talks about tidings of comfort and joy, and it keeps repeating that. Tidings of comfort and joy. What is this comfort and joy it's talking about? I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 1:4, where Paul is telling the Corinthian church about God. He says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And I believe that comfort is so much more than being free from the power of sin, but I believe that comfort is having God's presence with you at all times, having God's Spirit available to guide you and direct you at all times. That's what I believe this song's talking about when it says comfort. But then it says joy. I love how Peter describes this. He says in 1 Peter 1:8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Now, here's the thing that's amazing about this. So many times I read in the Bible and I read about the joy that people experience because of Jesus, but many times these are people that have encountered Jesus, people that knew him, people that had talked to him, maybe even people that Jesus had healed. But Peter's directing this message to us. He says, you who have never seen him in person, you yourself who have never met Jesus in person, but yet you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy because Jesus has become a part of your life. God has become a part of your life. And God's physical appearance on earth happened at Christmas time. That's what the season's all about. I love giving presents. I love getting presents. Not a hint at all. I love that part about Christmas. I love this, the surprise. I love the joy. I love the Christmas lights. I love the decorations. I love the delicious food, all that stuff. But the thing that I love the most about Christmas is the fact that it reminds us that Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to become a part of his own creation. He was willing to step into the history of mankind. And if you're willing, he wants to step into your heart and into your life and make you brand new, free you from sin, free you from Satan's power, and bring you comfort and joy. The world offers a lot of things. The world offers temporary comfort. Anybody own a Snuggie? The world offers temporary joy. But the difference is the joy and the comfort that God offers you is something that no one can ever rob you of. It's something that lasts forever. It's something that's whole. It's something that takes over your entire person. You cannot be the same after encountering Jesus. If you claim that you've had an encounter with Jesus and he's the Lord of your life, but your life is not different, I doubt that you've truly experienced him. I don't believe that you can walk away from an experience with Jesus and remain the same. So this morning, I want to invite you. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never looked at this Christmas song this way before. Maybe you've never realized how deep and how rich it is. But I invite you this morning to not just let it be words or a song, but allow it to be the prayer of your heart. Allow it to be your life. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes as we conclude our time together. But just in this last quiet moments together, if you're here this morning, you've heard the story of Christmas, you've heard about Jesus' sacrifice for you, his offering of this gift of forgiveness and freedom from sin and Satan's power. You've heard all those things, but maybe you've never claimed it as your own. I would invite you to do that this morning. I would invite you, even now, to pray the most simplest of prayers. As Jerry mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago, God has just made it so simple for us. And the simplest of prayers, just God, forgive me and save me. Wouldn't it be amazing? You know, for me, it would be the most incredible thing if this Christmas became the greatest Christmas you've ever experienced because it was a Christmas that you gave your heart to Jesus and you gave your life to him. So I would invite you, if that's you, if it's something you want to do, I would invite you just to pray a simple prayer and say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I want to be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sin. Right now, I give you my life. Free me from Satan's power. Bring me your comfort and your joy. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now, but I would just, if you prayed that prayer, I would ask you, before you leave, if you would just talk to myself or to Jerry, just let us know that you prayed that prayer. Let us know that this is the Christmas season where you actually invited God to be with you. We'd love to know that. It would bring us so much joy. If you prayed that prayer this morning, please, before you leave, just come up to us and let us know. We'd love to be able to pray with you and celebrate with you. Father, thanks for being such an amazing God. I thank you for just for the things that I've learned from looking at this song. God, help us to be strong and courageous. Help nothing to discourage us or bring us down, because we have hope. We have your very presence with us, not only protecting us, not only meeting our needs, but bringing us joy and bringing us comfort. Thanks, God. You were so amazing. We look forward to all the things you're going to show us this month as we just continue to reflect on what it means for you to become a part of our lives. Thank you, God. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.